Good afternoon, everyone. Good to be here again. Shouldn't say again, it's first time being here at the center. But nevertheless, the Feast of Trumpets that I'm talking about. The Feast of Trumpets. Day of Trumpets. I just want to extend a welcome to everyone. All familiar faces. It's a very important day on God's calendar, as we just heard from Brother Godfrey, and I thank you for that. Compliments what I really want to talk about today. And the title I'm using is The Days of Noah. Well, what do the days of Noah have to do with trumpets? We'll see. Last night I was just meditating for a while, and I kept wondering, as we are surrounded by this pandemic and some other events in our lives, what is the comparison to the days of Noah? Watching the news nowadays seems to be a form of extreme entertainment. It's all filled with action. Whether it's through the gun or some other way or means, it has been for quite a while a place where you spend half an hour to watch the major newscast and you end up feeling stressed out. When, on the other hand, it should be informing us. It's a medium of information. But what kind of information? Not the depressing one that we get day in, day out. 1600 years, about 1600 years have passed since Eden. Adam and Eve, and they occupied the land. And the Earth's population had naturally, expectedly, obviously, had started to increase. But something was increasing with it also. You know what happened shortly after the birth of children, that the first murder was committed. Something was not right. And as population kept increasing, you would think, fresh from the lessons of Eden, that humanity would have learned your precious lessons, but no. As the population exploded, wickedness exploded. We're nearing 7 billion. Or thereabout on the earth today. Keeps going, changing so fast. I don't know, 6 or 7 or 8, or well, I know it's hard to reach 8, but somewhere in that region. And one would wonder if there's any sign or semblance or any indication, any signal that things are on the way as far as humanity's relationship with one another is concerned. Genesis 6:5 tells us the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now we are going back 5,000 years ago, somewhere thereabouts. Forgive my mind if I'm wrong. But it was, notice it said, The thoughts of his heart was only evil. That's all seemed to preoccupy their thoughts and actions. Evil, evil, evil. And verse 6 tells us that the Lord regretted. He was sorry. Wow. Humanity is the ultimate in his creative achievement in terms of putting intelligent, an intelligent person or being in his creative process. One who can reason and who can analyze and understand that they have intellect and so on. But God regretted that he had made man on the earth. The word says it grieved him in his heart. Brethren, just must have been terrible wickedness at this time of human history. For God to grieve and regret it that he made humanity. So I want us to kind of channel back our thoughts to perhaps what was going on at that time, that he regretted a being that he has so many plans for in the future. But it became a household name or concept, wickedness and evil, that God said in all his wisdom, say, you know what? I have to put a stop to this. It can't go on. He would take one of the most devastating decisions in human history. I will wipe out this evil from the land. I will get rid of it altogether. I will send a flood on this planet and wipe out every living being except one family. Except one family. I'm going to get rid of everything that ever lived. This is a serious decision. The crawling things, the creeping things, the things that walked upright, the living the creatures in the sea or in the air, I'm going to wipe out everything to get rid of this. Wow. The Lord said, I will block out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and the birds of the heavens, for I am sorry I have made them. Well, brethren, this is serious. The evil was that great at that time. Wow. So we could ask, what would have been, things would have been so bad early in human history that God would have taken such an action. And so this gnaw at our thoughts from time to time, what would have been so terrible going on in those days of Noah, that God had wiped the face of the earth or get rid of evil from the face of the earth. Were it murders? I'm sure that there were robberies going on, sexual immorality, idolatry. You bet they were. Reading some early human history, searching to find out. To be honest with you, this has been an ongoing quest of mine to try to get a picture, a visual image of what perhaps was going on at that time in human history that led to such depravity and wickedness and evil. And apparently, the most common forms of evil or wickedness during that time seem to have been, you would never believe it. People stole a lot. Food. Yes, it was very common in those times that people steal food from other people. Because food was not abundant as it is now. And people had to struggle to stay alive in some communities, in some regions. And so it became very popular for them to steal food from one another. Can you imagine walking into McDonald's and handing over your hamburgers? Or handing over all the nuggets? In this day and age, they would laugh. They would chuckle. Say, what? These guys are mental. They're stealing food? Yes, in those days, food was a popular crime, stealing food. The big one, though, the big one, was idolatry. Idolatry. Worshiping other gods. Again, that probably would be your expectation, because remember, God, the nation that it was the Israelite nation as yet, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the only two, we know the only true God, but somehow the other nations, as the population increased, they found solace, they found comfort in worshiping stone and stick and things that they created, whether it was the sun and so on. So idolatry was random on the land. There was sexual immorality too. We have always heard here the term that the oldest profession is prostitution. That was going on to an extent. Don't know to what extent. But that was common. But brethren, whatever the problems were, they were not in God's eyes something that was pleasing to him. So he looked at this family and he said, you know what? I'm going to save you from this deluge. This deluge just coming up on the earth. And so Noah hearkened to the voice of God, and he started what his assignment was in building this huge boat. Yes, and they mocked and laughed at him, and they called him a madman, and so on. But, you know, thing is, no one cared about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No one cared. No one cared to serve him or to listen to what he had imparted to a person that he chose to warn the nation. You did not want God to tell you what? Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Can you relate to this? So on this day of trumpets, on this important milestone on God's calendar, when Jesus Christ is going to come bursting through the clouds to upset the apple cart of humanity and to set a new social, economic, and political order, and to set up his world ruling government eternally. Yes, can we relate to what happened back then, to what is going on in our lives today? Because as you heard in the sermon from 1 Thessalonians 4, when that last trump shall sound, things are going to change. Things are going to change because King Yeshua is coming back. As promised. And we, the saints of God, we must see, if we haven't, these parallels to the days of Noah. Why? Why the days of Noah? Because it's a sign that Messiah came. Let's read Matthew 24. 35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Clear. When you see the violence and the wickedness on the land today, as we are seeing, Know now. Now we are in the days of now, and the coming is not far away. For as in the days that they were before the flood, what they were doing? They were eating, maybe eating stolen food too. And they were overeating too. But sometimes, you know, when you feel hungry, you tend to overeat, right? Not a lot of food around. And they were drinking too. When you drink too much, you get drunk. And they were marrying too. Tried to find a little more on this one, but I couldn't. I don't know what this marrying entails. If it boils down to what we're seeing now, or so-called marriages that we see now, still searching on this one. And they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. So they continued. Normally they continued, brethren. And let us realize this, that leading up to the return of Jesus Christ, things will be going normally. Things will, people will be doing things normally too. Some of them are listening and watching. Others are just moving about their own business. Going around to supermarket, to sports, whatever, traveling, whatever. Things will be going normal. It's a parallel to Noah. They were doing all these things until Noah entered the ark. So they will be doing these things until the trumpet sound. There'll be obvious things going around, yes. But I can tell you, to the last very moment, there will be people who are denying the existence of Yahweh. And there will be people who will be denying and fail to acknowledge and will be dismissing that Jesus Christ is eternal. It's part of the package. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken. Yes, because in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to experience change. So myself and someone else, or yourself and someone else, or a saint of God and another person, by the initiation, and they know what's going to happen, one shall just move, gone. Because in the twinkling of an eye, when that last trumpet sounded, there shall be change. We shall be changed. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. So what we should be doing here today, watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, brethren, saints of God, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. As I will always say, we're not going to know the hour, but we know the time and the season. And it will be just like the days of Noah. So we should be taken off God. Brethren, from here on, I want to spend a little time to see and to examine whether we are anywhere near the days of Noah. Is it worse? Is it better? Or was there more evil in the days of Noah than we see now? It's hard to measure. But there are signs and there are experiences and their events that have happened, that we, with our discerning eyes, we who have God's Spirit dwelling in us, we should be able to see, because we are told to do what? To watch. Watch. We should not be blinded by the pleasures and the flesh that is out there that we can't even see right from wrong. Because you know, for the most part, a lot of society today cannot see right from wrong. So we can see right from wrong. We can recognize when something is of the devil, and we can recognize when something is of God. Society has a hard problem or a challenging problem doing that. I went to a little research again into this, trying to pinpoint some of the atrocities that go on in our society each day. that we going about our business, normal business, we don't hear it, but we don't really grasp it fully as we should. This may sound a little graphic. I know we have some young children here on listening as well. This chat, because I'm going to use some language I would prefer not to use, but I'm just trying to paint a portrait of horrific world. Every day after school, Maria sold bread by the side of the road to supplement her family's limited income. When business was slow, the 15-year-old chatted with Sophia, a 35-year-old woman who lived in the same village and often stopped by to visit. The two developed a friendship, and in 2004, Sophia made Maria an offer. She promised a high-paying job in the capital that would allow Maria to send money home and help pull her family out of poverty. Maria agreed and, at Sophia's urging, did not tell her parents she was leaving. On the day of the trip, Sophia gave Maria a drink that made her dizzy, then unconscious. When she awoke, the two of them were in a taxi, arriving at an unfamiliar restaurant in the capital. Sophia told Maria to go in and clean up, after which the taxi driver drove her and three other girls to a guest house. The taxi driver called them inside one after another. Maria was the last. Inside the guest house, the taxi driver, R-A-P-E-E-R, it's an ugly word, very ugly word, has always been, will always be. Stunned and broken, but feeling powerless to stop what was happening. Maria was brought back to the restaurant. She was forced to waitress for a month until Sophia returned. At that point, Sophia claimed to be Maria's mother and collected the girl's wages, then relocated her to another restaurant in the city. There, Maria was again forced. Again, you know what? I can't even tell you. I don't want to go too much, but imagine what happened. For wages. Each time she got her money, Sophia took it, pretending to be her mother. Weeks later, this went on for a while. Sometime after, Sophia and Maria's relationship deteriorated, and the owner of the establishment alerted the local authorities, but they took no action. At the dancing parlor, Maria was forced to work. And you know what comes in. Maria's salvation came one night when her uncle happened to visit the dancing parlor. Recognizing Maria, he informed her parents who sought assistance from a human rights association. Staff from the association freed Maria and filed a criminal suit against the perpetrators in a provincial court. In December 2005, Sophia was sentenced to 10 years in prison and fined $250, which Maria received as compensation. The taxi driver was not convicted. Despite Maria's testimony, the investigating judge brought the charges against him because Sophia and Maria made contradictory statements and Maria was unable to locate the guest house where she was. The judge made no attempt to summon witnesses from the guest house or restaurant. In the time it has taken him to read this court record, as many as five children are facing similar situations. Since I started reading, five children have already gone in this situation. This is a thing. I edited some of this. Horrible. This is all wrong. was things that is going on in the days of Noah. Think. I probed further to get another subject of wickedness in our society. This one brought tears in my eyes. Because in the research, the big headline was 4-year-old girl are. I said 4-year-old. I read it again, yes, 4-year-old. I said maybe this is an isolated incident, so I probe further. Brethren, to my shock, in the last 2 months, we were in 7 cases around the world. 4-year-olds in power. And I stopped for a while and I wonder if I should go further. Because my stomach was getting sick. This is our glorious world and we paint a picture of paradise and God's creation is paradise. But the society is rotten. It's rotten. So I go further. With a heavy heart. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go higher. Hopefully I can go higher than 4. So I went up to 5. Same trend. Going up more and more cases. I went up to 6 years old. Same thing. 7, going right up to teenage years. And when it reached even before the teenage years, when it reached 12, it went back into what I just read the story. That's 10, 12, those were the ages some of these girls were getting into. So I said, maybe I should stop. Because I can't stomach this, I won't sleep tonight. But I, you know, you have a probe in mind. And I said, let's go beyond, below 4. See if there's any such atrocity, any such evil in our land, on our planet. Headlines were all 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds, and even below 1-year-old. Children, babies were being harmed in our world. So I want you at this moment just to think for a while and compare what might have been happening in the days of Noah and what is going on now. In our world, in our glorious world, where so much advancement has been made in medicine, yes, we have to give, because God is the one who gives knowledge. A lot of us are living longer, despite some of the diseases that we have, so we have been advancing in that. And we have our glorious transportation system where we can fly all over, we can take a jet anywhere, we can always be at our destination and we can enjoy life to the fullest. But our world is rotten. Rotten. Here's another one. Bernardo joined paramilitaries. In fact, he was forced into the army when he was 7 years old. Have you ever heard of child soldiers? Yes, another evil on our planet. Here's what Bernardo said. Because there's an initiation passage you have to prove yourself. So what these animals do is they're going to the villages and they rape the villages. They take the young girls and as early as 10, 12, and bring them to their camp. I can't tell you what they do to them, imagine. And they take the boys, young boys, and they put them in their armors. Bernard said, they give me a gun and told him, you have to kill your best friend. You have to. If you don't kill him, we kill you. They do it to see if they can trust you If you don't kill him, your friend will be ordered to kill you. So if you don't kill your friend, one of your friends are going to kill you. Bernard just said with a heavy heart, I had to do it. Because otherwise, another one testified. We went to this person's house and they picked him up, then brought him back to the camp. They held a war council. He had a defender. But everyone knew what the verdict was going to be. It was automatic. There was no real possibility that he would escape shooting. And this is a person who had informed the authorities about what they were doing, what was going on with them. And further than that, they pinned charges on him. His crimes were theft from the movement and desertion, the most serious crimes of all. In the war council, no one voted to save him. After the council, we went and dug his grave. He went and dug his grave. Then we brought him to the side of the grave. He closed his eyes and I shot him in the head. I had never executed anyone before, but this time I had to do it. If you don't do it, they will kill you. Welcome to planet Earth. Or glorious society. Is it any better than the days of Noah? It's a question for us today. Are we better off? Are we worse? When we talk about the wickedness that God had to destroy the planet for. And the parallel here, yes, the ark came to save Noah and his family. And the parallel for us is here. Jesus Christ has to return to save his planet and to save his people from what? The multiplication of evil in this world. Noah preached a warning message for 120 years. He waited patiently for people to change, and there was not one single convert. Not one single convert. Is God waiting for people to change before he sent his son through the clouds to set foot on the Mount of Olives, when that trumpet blast changes everything in human civilization? 1 Peter 3:20 tells us, which, breaking into the thought, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So God was holding off, waiting in the days of Noah. God was kind of holding off for the hope that maybe something was going to change while the ark was being prepared. Wearing fuel, that is, 8 souls, 8 people were saved from the deluge. And nobody cared about God. God is calling many people today. Do people generally care? You would think all of what's going on in this pandemic, there would be changes, and maybe there are. Maybe there are. Maybe you would hope there are changes. But the New Testament paints a picture, again, of what the days leading up to the trumpet blast is going to be. It's all there for us to see. Men will be lovers of themselves. It's all about me. The me, 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 me. And no one else. And the lovers of money, they sell their children or put these children in these horrible situations for money. They will do anything. They'll sell their souls to the devil. And they're boastful, and they're proud, and they're abusive, and they're disobedient to their parents, and they're ungrateful, and they're unholy, and they're without love. They're unforgiving, and they're slanderous, and they're without self-control, and they're brutal. They're not lovers of the good. They're treacherous, and they're rash, and they're conceited. They're lovers of pleasure rather than the lovers of God. Again, look at the picture, brethren. Let's open our eyes. Now is not the time to skylark, and now is not the time to waste. Now is not the time to spend precious energy debating whether we should wear masks or not, or whether we should take vaccine or not, when the world is tumbling down. When the days of Noah are upon us, and we have an obligation to get the gospel out, because that is what has been given to the church, to preach the gospel to the nation. That's what we should be preoccupied with. How can we reach a dying world? How can we reach a world that is crumbling each day? Our leaders are in confusion how to deal with a simple pandemic. They're going to and fro seeking solutions, not reaching anywhere. The news. This is the news we want to get out to people, to give them their opportunity, especially those who God is opening their thought process and their minds to this glorious gospel, because they have to believe the gospel, because that's where the hope is. That's going to change things. So the trumpet, this piece of trumpet, must be a wake up call for the church and for each and every one of us to remind us that whatever is going on, there can be no solution. Your solution, our solution, is in the kingdom of God. And when Yeshua comes, burst into the clouds. That is it. The Bible said we should be redeemed the time. Why? The days are evil. Redeem the time. The days are evil. And the book of 1 John tells us that the whole world lies in wickedness. Wickedness, not niceness, wickedness. The whole world lies in wickedness. And as we heard in the parable, we are preparing a bride, or should be preparing a bride for the groom. Must not be time to waste. Is the bride ready? That's the fundamental question. Is the bride ready for the groom? And he asked the question too. Will I be finding faith among the saints when I come? We can be our own judges in this case. All of us have to give an account. Are people changing their evil ways? You remember, you studied the book of Revelation. You see how people are going to react to Christ's return. But that doesn't mean you sit back with your arms folded and say everything is fine. You know, I'm fine. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm fine. No. No. God has called you for a purpose. You've heard that over and over again. We all have a duty before God. We have to take the blood off our shoulders. Because when we are brought before Him, there are expectations. Because He has given you that down payment. Not because the people of Noah's days didn't care means that Noah didn't preach. He did it for 120 years, not one. Not one. The people of today's world, they don't care either. Doesn't mean you don't do your part. Romans 1 tells us, brethren, you know, Revelation tells us too about the time coming when the holy is going to remain holy and the righteous is going to remain righteous and the filthy, they're going to still remain filthy. But the church has a voice, should have a voice in warning. Acts 1 tells us, Matthew 28 tells us what has been bestowed on us to do individually and collectively is to tell the nations of this coming government of God and that Jesus Christ died for your sin and you can become a part of this world-ruling government. For therein, Romans 1:21, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So you see why he asked whether he's going to find faith when he returns on the, when he returns on this earth? All of us must live by the faith. By faith. But faith without works is dead too. For the wrath of God, and it is coming, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which they may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it unto them. Yes, they can see just even on this beautiful day. Go out and you look, see the handiwork of God. The blind may not be able to see, but those who can will. For the invisible things of him that the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Some of them are without excuse. They know better, but they're not doing better. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they have become what? Fools. There are so many experts around today. With all of what's going on, yes, everybody's an expert. It's a season for it. And it's not going to get any better, right? It's going to just wax colder and colder. Noah found favor in God's sight as a righteous person. Genesis 7:1 tells us that he found favor. We are told in the Word of God that he was moved with godly fear, godly reverence, godly awareness of who God is and what he stands for. And he built an ark based on that. He was able to save his household. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Violence has taken over our planet. We see what's going on in Afghanistan, you better believe it's not going to get any better. God has His plan as revealed in these appointed times. It's good that we can come before Him on this appointed time. Just tell Him we are a part of Your ruling government that is coming on this faithless generation, on this hopeless world. We want to be a part. We are at Your mercy. We are at Your grace. Exodus 34:6 says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. God does not take delight in the destruction of the wicked. Ezekiel 33:11 tells us that. He does not take delight. Say unto them, as I live, said the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, or why will you die, O house of Israel? God in his wisdom, brethren, Romans 9:15, God in his wisdom shows mercy. He will do that, but there is coming a time when he will show mercy no more, because evil will be so great on this land. It's multiplying with technology coming more evil. Technology has its good, has its bad. That little mechanism known as the internet, right, or technology known as the internet, has come a lot of good, because we're able to reach people with good news in areas we have never dreamed of ever going. Powerful in spreading God's word. But with the internet has come some terrible things. Don't be judged for it. It's a breeding ground for wickedness and evil. And many, rather than using it to get closer to God, drifting. Romans 3:5 says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey, brethren, who do not obey the truth, they're storing up wrath against God. And he is coming to destroy. He's coming with his wrath to destroy them. We don't know how many more Feasts of Trumpets we will celebrate. It's a celebration. Beginning of the fall holidays, where we look at redemption and what it leads to. Grand kindness of his kingdom on earth, the Feast of Tabernacles. Today is a time for celebration, because today is a time for hope. Yes, you may feel down at these gut-wrenching experiences that we read and hear, but these things must come to pass before the end. We have to brace for them. More pandemics, yes. More natural disasters, yes. More coup d'etat? Yes. More atrocities against the young? Yes. More disrespect for our leaders? Yes. Sad to say, you heard it on the news, just throw stones at the prime minister. That's not good. Father, they won't break down the society. No matter how bad you may feel they are, they deserve respect. Society has just breaking down and down, and you wonder when it's going to bottom out. But that's where it's heading. But we must not let these guards left scars in our spiritual walk, because these things must come to pass. They are the beginning of sorrows. So on this day of trumpet, I encourage all of us, let's use it to just recharge and get the bride ready for the groom. Because it's on this day, symbolically, things will change and a new order is going to be in place. It's going to happen. It's not a matter of if. It's going to happen. We, the saints of God, know it's going to happen. Not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Some of us may not be alive when it happens. So what? As long as you're down there, or wherever you are, God's Holy Spirit will get your change. You're probably going to get it first, before those who are alive. It doesn't matter where we are. Just make sure you have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you, that he's going to use when that trumpet sound in 1/1000th of a second, that change clicks, and you're going to get your new self. Anybody. Feast of Trumpets is a joyous time. It brings so much hope and so much expectation in these dull and gloomy days of the pandemic. So, brethren, live your joy you have in Jesus Christ and let the evil multiply. Sometimes it will seep in and affect us, but as is expected, but don't allow it to deter or to deter your zeal for God. Don't allow it to interfere with your spiritual walk. Use it to strengthen you and to realize what the good book is saying is truly coming to pass. So you have a very inspiring rest of the day in this Feast of Trumpets. You have a very inspiring day of atonement as you reflect on the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you have an uplifting Feast of Tabernacles to the glory of Jesus Christ at the center of this feast. And may you live out the kingdom here on earth, a taste of it at least, for the rest of our lives. God bless you.